Amen. As we come together on this morning, thanking God for the many blessings that He has given us, continuing to realize that this is a day in which God did not promise us that we would have. But as we laid down on last night, with the anticipation of getting up on this morning, we thank Him for allowing us to do so. If you would turn back into your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Without the life of Christ, without Him giving His life on the cross of Calvary, we as a people, Gentiles, would not be here on this morning worshiping Him. But so it be, here we are. And if we do not follow His word, we will be eternally lost. Amen. For He says in John chapter 14, verse 5. John 14, verse 5. Thomas said to Him, Lord, we do not know where You are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know Me, Philip? Whoever has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in Me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on My own authority, but the Father who dwells in Me does His work. Now those are some words that we can bank on. Philip asked a question, whereas the answer was already there. Looking at Jesus, you're looking at the Father. Basic, simple. There's no way that you can get around it. And that is why Jesus can make the statement, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. I remember talking to an individual that was in jail, and the individual was telling me about his so-called pastor. And I said, What is his name? What is his number? Where do you worship? And he gave me all that information. And in turn, what I did is I went to visit this man. And when I got there, I met this group of men. And the group of men said, "What do you want?" And I said, "I want to talk to such and such." And they said, "You can't talk to him." I was like, "Why not?" I said, "I need to talk to him, or I want to talk to him." The only way that I was going to get to him was through those men, which didn't make any sense to me. They were protecting him. In this case that we're looking at Jesus, Jesus is not protecting the Father, but the Father is protecting him. The Father sent him to die for the sins of the world. The Father gave him the authority to say the things in which he said. The words that he was speaking was not his own words. They were the words that the Father gave him. You tell them that there's no way they can get to me unless they go through you. Well, we find many scriptures that would back that very thing up. Going back to John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Amen. And in the, look what it says there in verse 2, "He was in the beginning with God." Jesus was there, communing with the Father. So everything that he says, he got from the Father. And that's a good thing again. But what we're going to look at today is we're going to look at "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Because I believe that there are some people that are trying to get to God by all means necessary. And it's not going to happen. It has to be according to the Word of God. So what does it mean when Jesus says, "I am the way"? I am the way. You want to know how to get to somewhere? You look at the directions. You follow those directions. You set it in your GPS. And hopefully you will follow those directions. So Jesus says, "I am the way." And again, what are we talking about? We're talking about the way to the Father. We're going to die one day. And the day is coming where we're all going to be raised from the dead. Amen. And we're going to be raised for one or two destinies, either heaven or hell. And if you did not follow the way, you're not going to be in heaven. Amen. You're not going to be there. If you took a detour, you know, you take the high road, I'll take the low road, and we'll both get to there together at the same time. No, it's not going to work like that. We have to take the road that has been laid out for us. Amen. And it is plain to see. All we have to do is open up our eyes, look into the perfect law of liberty, and we'll know how to get there. So Jesus says, "I am the way." In the book of Matthew chapter 4, we find when Jesus was calling his disciples. And I appreciate the teachers for teaching our young the importance of discipleship, the importance of Jesus calling these men to follow him. And the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Let's go back up to verse 18. "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" follow me. Now, we talk about Jesus being the good shepherd. We talk about how a shepherd leads his sheep. Jesus didn't force them. Jesus didn't drag them. Jesus didn't push them. Jesus merely said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So what do you do when someone comes to you and they say, follow me? You want a different way of life, or you want to be saved from whatever you're going through, and they say, follow me. What do you do? Well, in this case, these men, the Bible says in verse 20, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately. Why? Because Jesus had something to offer them. Jesus was the way. You know, people say, I can't see you. It's dark. I have no idea which way to go. Listen to my voice. Come to the sound of my voice. In this case, they saw Jesus. And he said, follow me. And immediately, they followed him. In the book of John, the chapter is 8. In the book of John, the chapter is 8. And the verse is 12. John chapter 8 and the verse is 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, we have some people that are afraid to sleep with the light off. They're scared of the darkness. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. So is it worth it to follow him? Yes, by all means. Because it's a dark, dark world out there. Yes, the sun is shining right now, but it's still dark. Amen. In the minds of some people, they do not understand the light because they don't want to understand the light. Brother Simmons said, those that don't understand, let's make them understand. You know, I'm not picking on Brother Simmons or anything, but I've ridden a couple of horses before. And if you take those horses to the water, you cannot make them drink.
That's right.
There's no way you can do it. They're going to drink when they get ready to drink. Our responsibility is to lay it out there for them and give them that choice. And hopefully they'll make the right choice. And we want to encourage them to do what is right before God. And so Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but would have the light of life. He's telling them the way. He's telling them the way. He laid it out for them. We know the way today.
Amen.
We have the word from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation.
Right.
There's so many people that just don't want to be in the right way. They want to continue to go down a dark path. They want to continue to be their own God. You know, there's some people that hire you to take them to some places because you have been there. But there are some people that you don't want to give your money to because they're just out there trying to get you for what you have. And they will take you down a dark alley. And they will take all that you have. But that is not what Jesus represents. Jesus represents life, and he tells us here in his word, but we'll have the light of life. That's what the people will have when they follow him. When they come out of darkness, they'll have the light of life. He says in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Amen.
We need to be, you know, responsible for our actions. And when we're called out of a dark world, we need to accept that calling and we need to do what is right. Jesus is the way to the Father. In Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. When we come out of the world, we have to know that there are some things that we have to give up. We have to consider these things. We have to weigh these things. What are my options? Well, when is it going to benefit me to do what I'm supposed to do? To follow in the way. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14, verse 25, "Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.'" If you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to follow in the way, there are some things that you're going to have to give up. It may be that you have to change your job. It may be that you have to change your location. It may be that you have to look in the mirror and you have to change something about yourself. He says that you have to hate your family. That means that you cannot put them before God. That means that you understand when it comes down to worshiping Him that your family may not be in the way. So you do what is right. You continue to serve Him. And you continue to be the example that you need to be. But these are the words of Jesus. We have so many people that always say, "I want the red letters." Close your eyes and just listen to the sound of His voice. Listen to what He says. Don't worry about the red letters. Just listen to what He says.
Amen.
He's telling us the truth. He's telling us the truth. That is why He says, "I am the truth."
Amen.
I am the truth. Well, what is truth? Truth is the opposite of false. I believe that when we look at this and we consider Jesus being the truth, that we need to think right there that whoever comes and says something other than what the Word says, then we need to ignore them.
Amen.
I can go back to John 1:1 and read that for you again if you like. But let's do that. John 1:1. Jesus said, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God."
Amen.
That's truth. We were not there. But Jesus was there in the beginning. So He is truth. And we need to accept His Word as being truth. Because He and the Word are the same. There's no doubt in my mind. It is not my opinion. It's the Word. It is truth. You know, we talk about opinions sometimes. Opinions versus facts. This is no opinion right here. This is the fact that Jesus is the truth.
Amen.
In John chapter 8, in the verse is 32. The Bible says in John 8 and verse 32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
Amen.
The truth will set you free. How can we be free according to the word of God? Only by dying to self, giving up the old life, putting on the new, doing what God would have us to do. Let's look at verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." You're truly my disciples. So we go back to him calling his disciples. They were truly his. Why? Because they followed him. See, we have men today that say that they are Christians, but yet they're not following the word. They're not trusting in the truth. So therefore, those men are liars. They are liars. And what we have to do is we have to come to the realization of the truth. People say that you cannot understand it. You need somebody that has a college degree to sit down with you and explain to you the word of God. This word is not written on a college level.
Amen.
How do I know? Because I can understand it. I can understand it. A little child can understand it. What it takes is someone with a college degree to mess it up. So we look at this word again, and he says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And the only way that you're going to be free is that you follow the way. You follow the way. In 1 John chapter 5, and the verse is 20. 1 John chapter 5, and the verse is 20. The Bible says, "And we know the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." He's true. He is true. Have someone ever asked you, or has anyone ever asked you, "Who are you?" And they asked you that question because they did not know. And you began to tell them who you are, and before you ever finish, they tell you, "No, you're not." Wait, they asked the question. They asked, "Who are you?" And you began to tell them, and they said, "You're not." How do they know that you're not the person that you say that you are? Because yes, maybe, think about it now, that the person that you are describing to them, that you're telling them that you are, that they actually know that person. So you want to know God's word? Get in his word.
Amen.
You want to know when someone is not telling you the truth? Get in his word. And the Bible again says in 1 John 5:20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true." How do we know? By the word, we know that he's true. "And we are in him who is true." How do we know that we are in him? Because the Bible tells us how to get in him. And if we do those things, we have him. In his Son, Jesus Christ, he is the true God and eternal life. And he continues there in verse 21. "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Don't put anything before me. Again, going back to thinking about hating your mother, hating your sisters, hating your brothers, even hating yourself. "Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Do not set anything up." I'm not going to even say above God, but do not set anything up on his level. He is the way and he is the truth.
Amen.
Then we find in Psalm 86, and the verse is 11. Psalm 86 and the verse is 11. teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. You know, when you're teaching a child how to walk, you stand either behind that child holding them up, or you stand in front of that child holding them up. And you are there steadying them, allowing them to get their balance. And you pull them a little bit, or you push them a little bit. And sometimes you have to grab their leg and you have to move it forward. And they take that step, and then they take another, and then another. And then they get all excited, and you let them go, and they take another, and they're so excited they fall. But they don't give up, and you don't give up on them. For that child to learn how to walk, you continue repetition. You continue to do that, and before you know it, that child is walking. Well, here the psalmist is saying, teach me your way, O Lord. You know how we're going to learn the way of God? Now this is David here praying. But you know how we're going to learn the way of the Lord? By staying in the truth. By, you know, you may not understand right off. Stay in there. Keep studying. Keep doing what you know to be right. And he says, that I may walk in your truth. Some people say, there's no way you can be a Christian by the things that you're doing. You're stumbling. Keep studying. Keep standing in the word. That I may walk in your truth. You know, as Peter told Simon the sorcerer, your heart is not right with God. You need to repent. David says here, unite my heart to fear your name. Sometimes our heart need to be united. Our heart need to open up to the word of God. And we need to understand that there are some things that need to change. We need to get back in the truth. We need to be those fellow workers. We need to stand up for what is right before God. Let's do what is right. Yeah. So again, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now, we love our lives, do we not? Yeah. We love our lives and we want to do what is right before God. So therefore, he tells them, I am the truth. And the way and the truth and the life. Now we're trying to get to the Father. So what he says in John chapter 10 and the verse is 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. So if you're going to have life, what are you going to do? You're going to follow after Jesus. You're going to follow after the good shepherd. You're going to listen to his voice. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the only way that you're going to be able to live is that you come and do what I want you to do. I'm the life. See, life is good, isn't it? Life is grand. Only if you're doing what God wants you to do. The life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. So, what do we have to do? In order to have this eternal life, what must we do? We must do what's right before God. So in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and the verses 20. Galatians 5. That ain't right, is it? No, that's not right. I'm going to tell you what it says, though, what I'm looking for. I am crucified with Christ. And nevertheless I live, but yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life in which I live by the Spirit of God. I'm trying to get this for you. So you'll have the right verse. Galatians 2:20. At 5 looks like a 2, I guess, to me this morning. That's all right. We're gonna get it right for you. Galatians 2:20. I, again, am crucified with Christ. I am. So what does that mean? We're not worried about the next man. Paul is not worried about the next man right here. He's worried about self. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You want to have life? You have to give up your life. You have to deny self. And you have to put Christ on, because this is what God desires each one of us to do. So I am crucified with Christ. And that crucifixion comes at a price. What price again? Family, friends, jobs, your environment. It's going to have to be according to what God desires. And we're going to have to accept those things. 1 John 5 and 11. 1 John 5 and 11. You want eternal life? You do what you're supposed to do. You know, we have some people that are walking around dead because they're not in Christ.
Amen.
They're in darkness. 1 John 5 and the verse is 11. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. There's no way you can have it. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. What do you mean I don't have life? I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm doing whatever I'm supposed to, but you're dead. You're dead. We have to accept what God says in order to have life. Dead people, dead souls will not get to heaven. Will not get there. No way you can get there. Because you are not following the way. You're not living in the truth. You have not accepted life. So therefore you will not have life. Again, John 14, 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah.
Well, how do you get to it? How do you get to Jesus? How do you come to Jesus in order to get to the Father? It's simple. It's not so hard. Again, man will tell you anything. But if he does not have Bible, he does not have the truth. So here you find six things that's going to allow you to get to the Father. First, you hear what the Word says. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how you get to the Father. You hear what the Father says. You listen to His Word. You listen to what Jesus has said, because again, Jesus is speaking the words that the Father gave Him. And so what must you do then? You must believe in Jesus. He says in John chapter 8, verse 24. John chapter 8, verse 24. Except ye believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Except ye believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. We do not want to die in our sins. Because if you die in your sins, you have died away from Christ. You've died outside of Christ. And therefore, if you're outside of Christ at death, you're going to be on the outside come judgment. He's going to cast you into outer darkness. So let's be in Christ when we die. Luke chapter 13 and the verses 3. You have to repent. A change of mind, a change of direction to do what is right before God. You cannot live a life of sin and think that everything is going to be okay. Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So therefore, we want to live for Him. And then we have to understand that we need to make a confession. And that confession is very simple. All you have to do is open up your mouth and make that confession. He says in Romans chapter 10 and the verse is 10. For with the heart one believes and is justified. One believes and is justified. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. You know what all that entails? All that covers that you are ready to put Christ on through the watery grave of baptism. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Living the way you're supposed to live. Doing what is right before Him. Picking up His Word and studying His Word. And then you have to continue in His Word. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Amen. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Are you willing this morning to put Christ on? Are you willing this morning to walk the way He wants you to walk? Stand in the way, continuing to abide in the truth in order to have eternal life. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian and you want to become one. That opportunity is yours to come and to make that confession, to be baptized in the watery grave, risen to walk a new life, be an example to others. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. We want to encourage you to come back to the fold before it is too late. To do what is right before God. If you're here and you are not a Christian, you want to become one. If you're here and you need to come back to Christ, the invitation is yours. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, please come.